All right, we're a couple minutes past the hour, so I want to welcome everybody to our Wednesday night prayer meeting, and hope everybody's doing good this week. Again, we're got to thinking a couple weeks ago that since we have a newly renovated room, might as well occupy it on Wednesday nights, and so this is our test run, and hope there's enough fluff in the seat for you, and maybe a little more fluff in these seats. And the other, but got to be careful with the fluff and the light dimmer, though. You know, might be going to sleep on you, but or y'all on me. But anyway, it's good to see each and every one of you. I tell you, it's hot outside. I know this isn't a physical ed class or nothing, but stay hydrated and stay in the shade if you can. And I finished up my lesson early today and got out in the yard about 12 o'clock, thought I'd do some yard work. I just had that strange desire to get out there and weed eat and mow and
you must have
edge the walkway and, you know, and get all spiffy with the grass and the lines. And so, been kind of nauseous ever since and been seeing Tweety Bird. Being married.
Oh, I was having a new house, too.
Yeah, and I was partly looking at it as a means of therapy, but I think I might need some therapy now. But anyway, it's good to see everybody this evening. I did want to bring you up to speed on Barbara Ann. She's been down at Emory Midtown for some time now. And I got a call about an hour before church tonight, and Connie and Larry Teague, they said that her heart stopped again three times today while they were there. They were in the waiting room and heard the sound, code blue, she coded. And without getting into great detail over the airways and all, they're getting ready to have a talk with her about her wishes and all, you know, about being resuscitated. But she is back on the ventilator, and she will be for 5 days. And so after those 5 days, I guess they're going to see if she'll hold up to natural breathing with some medicines I've given her here lately. So just pray for her. Pray for Barbara Anderson. Barbara Anderson's down there right now with her. And y'all know, you know, she's been battling for years. We've just got in on it for the past 2 years to see how much she's been battling. But anyway, just pray for her when you pray. Also, remember Catherine's mother, Catherine Plemons' mother, and got a good report today from Miss Shirley Townsend. You want to let everybody know about that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Things are contained. Praise the Lord for that. That's wonderful. Several others on our prayer sheet. I do not have my updated version here on me, but I do know that we have several that need our prayers. Continue to remember Betty Berry. I know that, I got a call last night. Miss Dolores Palmer is in Cobb Hospital with chest pains, and I think she said she's already had a couple heart attacks in the past, some kind of surgery along with those. So she's in Cobb and for testing today. So remember Miss Dolores, remember her daughter Sharon, her cancer, Norma and Cassie Karanovich. Several others need our prayers, but maybe someone tonight has a request or a praise. That's right, Don. Just found out about that. Don Nettles, is he admitted or
he's at home?
Okay.
At home, but just spent 6 hours in the emergency room during the night with severe stomach pain. They're going to send him. He's going to a gastrologist for some tests.
Okay, remember Don Nettles.
I have a praise.
All right. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's real good. Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
Tammy? Yes,
yes. Wasn't expecting to hear that. Expecting not to hear that. Anybody else? Absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Sharon. This Saturday, VBS Community Outreach, I talked to the Ledfords on the gas station, auto shop here, and their second one as well. I talked to them, and they gave us the green light on handing out invites there. And the second shop by Martin's, did y'all know that? Okay. So both spots, I don't know if we'll occupy both spots. I think most of the traffic is at this gas station right here, but we'll also be at the Silver Comet, and of course there'll be male figures if, along with the females on the Silver Comet. That's definite, and both, just for obvious reasons. So looking forward to that. 9:30 prayer here at the church, and we're not going to go long into the afternoon, not long at all, maybe right up till lunchtime. It's just going to be hot, and we got some, we got the sign on the marquee about VBS. We tried something different. I know it isn't as visible, but the side rail of the opening or the front door of the church, we got the sign there. We also got it on the church Facebook page and by word of mouth. Also, if you go through Powder Springs to get here, you'll pass about three other churches that are having VBS. So, I'm not sure about the same week. I know two of them are having the same theme. And the next step would be have a commercial on live TV, and I don't think we could do that. So, but anyway, so we're looking forward to it. And remember that. Anybody else? Remember Jenny Clanton and her recovery, and all of our shut-ins, those that are traveling, those that are out of town, and our upcoming services on this Sunday. And let's just pray for God to do something special, and pray that we come prepared for Him to do that through. All right, well, that's all. We'll do what we normally do, and we come to the sanctuary, and let's have a time of prayer together, and then we'll come back and get into the lesson. Brother Pat, I'm going to start us out, and if you will close us whenever we get through praying. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. And Lord, we just pause for a moment, and we get still in Your presence. A lot of emotions, a lot of physical elements. Sure, we're all feeling and experiencing right now due to the weather, due to the rush of the week, and just due to some of the prayer requests. And Father, we take our time and we bow a knee and we humble ourselves, and we just rest for a moment. And Father, we just want to absorb the atmosphere we're in right now. This is a rest area from the highway of work. I know several hold jobs and go back and forth every day. This is a rest area. And we're pulling off the ramp right now into God's house to rest. Father, I pray tonight that you would light upon us, Lord, with your love and your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray that you would just resonate within our minds and hearts of your presence. Father, help us in the midst of life to just bask in the simple things of the Savior. The simple plan of salvation, the simple plan of the simple way of, dear Lord, how you make us holy. Father, the simple way of your provisions, the simple way of you opening and closing doors, the simple way of how you calm our fears. It may be very complex and challenging and fearful to us, but it's all simple to you. So tonight we just focus upon the simple Savior. Lord, I feel that that's how you would have us to think. Very simple terms. Let the simple gospel, the simple Bible, be a filter for a confusing life. Allow us to put life through the simple filter. And Lord, help us to make sense out of things as we live from day to day. Lord, tonight we're thankful for the children that we hear downstairs, and we're thankful, Lord, for those who teach them. And God, I'm thankful for the workers, our house parents, our leaders, our mentors. They're our Calvary's Children's Home, Lord. And as my wife and I talk and have this conversation often, how gifted and talented and called these individuals are to maintain a role day in and day out, taking care of those children. And not just that, but going a step further. And I mean, the absolute care and concern, it just doesn't stop. It's their parents to them. Father, we're thankful for them. We pray tonight, Lord, as we have Pat and Megan with us and one of their sons, God, I pray that you would just light upon them. Lord, massage their minds and hearts and areas in their life with your holy hands of mercy and grace. Keep them going, Lord. It's evident, Lord, they're called, but even us that are called have times in ministry, Lord, where maybe we feel like, I don't know, maybe we feel fatigued, maybe we feel slowed down, maybe whatever the case is, God. We pray that you'll do that tonight with them and their family and their boys, and strengthen them and guard their hearts for their area in life they're in, their young age, Lord, and they're growing into men and they're in school and it's summertime, Father. We pray that you'd just keep them pursuing you, Lord, and give them victory. Father, we're thankful for the air conditioning tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for our church tonight. We're thankful for a renovated room to worship in tonight. Just simple things tonight, Lord, that we want to pray about and give thanks about. We're thankful, Lord, for the visitors that have been coming. And Lord, I'm thankful for my relationship with some of the visitors, Lord, that these are strong relationships. It seems, though, that things are being strengthened and there's some enthusiasm there. Pray that you'll continually minister to our visitors. And Father, let us have more visitors. But Lord, help us be ready for when the visitors come to project Christ to them from a pure heart is our desire. We pray for all these on the prayer sheet. We pray for Barbara Ann. Lord, work miracles. Extend her life, Lord. We pray that you would raise her up, make her better than she was before. But we do pray, Lord, for clarity and a sound mind between the conversations that are getting ready to be made about her and her life. We thank you for Miss Shirley and the praise report she received, Lord. Thank you for Brother Jack and Sister Jackie and the praise report of their healthy lives, Lord. And Father, help us to continually give you praise for the things we pray about. Because, Lord, you are truly answering prayer. We love you tonight. We pray that you would be with us, keep us safe as we study your word and we worship. And Father, we pray that by the time church is over today, we'd be strengthened and aligned with thee. And Father, we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name. All right, let's take our Bibles and we're going to start in Deuteronomy tonight, chapter number 18. It's going to be our launching pad for the lesson. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse number 15 through 19. Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. And if I keep saying that means I haven't got there yet. So, again, using one of my older Bibles and my newer one, everything is in different places. All right, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. Notice what the Bible says. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And then verse number 19. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Of course, we're going back a good bit tonight to Deuteronomy, Old Testament book. But I want to use the main person that the scriptures are referring to here as my title. And I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, ways that God speaks. Ways that God speaks. Now, in verse number 15, I want you to notice again, the Bible says, The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him. Notice that. Unto him ye shall hearken. He says, Unto him ye shall hearken, meaning unto him ye shall listen, which implies and which clearly says that this prophet will say something. Now we know that Jesus is the prophet he's talking about, the coming Messiah. And the Lord was one that was definitely used. He was primarily used as the main mouthpiece, Jesus in the New Testament. Of course, we know that God used other men and moved on holy men of God when it comes to completing the scriptures and writing down the scriptures. But tonight I want to just talk about ways that God speaks. I think it's important to know the different ways that God speaks. And we're going to visit a couple ways that God speaks that we're all familiar with, and we'll reiterate those things for the sake of memory and learning. But God speaks in various ways tonight. You got to be careful with lessons on ways that God speaks, because different denominations can bring into things such as dreams, and you got to be careful with that kind of thing. And signs and wonders, you got to be careful of those kinds of things, because if the basis isn't biblical, then it isn't right. God's not speaking through that format. And so, ways God speaks. Number one, he speaks through the Son. Again, in chapter 18, verse 15, I believe he's referring to the Son here. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Notice, at least in my Bible, the P here is capitalized P. The prophet. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. And so we know that the Lord God, speaks through the Son. You can jot this verse down if you like, but in Matthew 17, verse 5, this is the New Testament version of what is said here in Deuteronomy. Matthew 17, 5 says, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So this just tells us that God the Father speaks through God the Son. And it was told here in Deuteronomy, and of course it's mentioned in Matthew 17, 5. When Jesus was baptized, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. I want you to notice something. God doesn't speak through Buddha, Muhammad, or Joseph Smith. You know that. Listen to this when it comes to Joseph Smith. He is the establisher of the Mormons. In 1820, he claimed to see heavenly visions along with special visits from a resurrected person named Moroni, Joseph Smith, the Mormons leader. Okay, he claimed to receive special visits from a resurrected person named Moroni, or Macaroni, whatever. In 1827, Smith received golden plates with Egyptian characters written on them, okay? That's why I'm saying you got to be careful with these dreams and visions and things. So he received, in 1827, Smith received golden plates with Egyptian characters written on them. By his translation of that came the Book of Mormon, which includes Jesus with multiple wives, heaven, a place of sexual relations, and having spirit babies, and one day perhaps being a spirit god. Joseph Smith had a dream, seen visions of these golden plates coming down from Egypt, and his interpretation is all formed in the Book of the Mormons, and which includes Jesus with multiple wives, heaven, a place of sexual relations, having spirit babies, all of these things. There's even shows on TV, on A&E and TLC about sister wives and polygamists. And listen, all of that is wrong. It's all sin. It's all false. It is not the teachings of Jesus. Now, God does not speak through Muhammad. God does not speak through Joseph Smith, and did not speak through Buddha, nor Confucius, nor the rest of them. But God speaks through his Son. John 14:6 says this: Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so if anybody is wanting to know how God speaks, point them to Christ. Point them to the Bible. This is how Jesus speaks, or this is how God speaks. God the Father is through the Son. Point them to the Scriptures. Point them to the Son. Point them to the cross. And so we see, number one, that he speaks through the Son. But number two, he speaks through the Scriptures. Now, the Son, the Scriptures, are one and the same, but you can slice them real similarly and thinly, and they all have their own way of speaking to the heart. So God speaks through the Son, but he also speaks through the Scriptures. Two areas he speaks to us about through the Scriptures. Number one, the Lord speaks to us through the Scriptures concerning the area of our ways. He uses the Scriptures to speak to us concerning our ways. Turn to 2 Timothy 3 for a moment. 2 Timothy 3. We're done out of Deuteronomy. We'll be back later on for that another day. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we see here that the Scriptures are being magnified and emphasized in 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse number 15. 2 Timothy 3, 15. Paul speaking concerning Timothy. In that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. But look at verse number 16 and verse 17. This is what the Scriptures are capable of doing, and this is how God speaks. Verse 16, all Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is God-breathed. Okay? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the person of God, the child of God, may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we see that a way that God speaks is through the Scriptures. And he will speak to us through the Scriptures concerning our ways or concerning how we live our life. Again, in verse number 16, he mentions different ways. First of all, he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine or truth or learning, for reproof. Some say the word reproof can mean conviction, or to convict is to reprove someone when they're wrong. All right, correction, of course, means to correct them in truth, possibly correct them in a way in their life that they've gone in error, for instruction in righteousness. And they do this, or the scriptures do this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. And so tonight we see that God speaks through the scriptures. And every time we meet for church, and every time we teach a lesson, every Sunday school teacher, every VBS worker even, and a Sunday morning, Sunday night, any time, any devotion, any time of fellowship, any time we're pouring into somebody and exchanging scripture, that's the scripture's job, is that God speaks through it. And sometimes we're reproved, and sometimes we're corrected, sometimes we're instructed. Sometimes we are enlightened in areas that we weren't enlightened in before. Sometimes we were, you ever hear the phrase, well, man, you just stepped all over my toes in church today. Well, the preacher or the teacher may not have known of that, but God did. And so, you know, on one side of the room or in one person's life, the scriptures is stepping on the toes or correcting. And maybe somebody on the other side of the room, or several on the other side of the room, that the scriptures are saying, hey, you know what, you're on the right path, you're doing the things the right way. But nonetheless, we see that the scriptures are used to speak to us, and God uses them, the scriptures, to speak to us concerning our ways. But then God uses the scriptures to speak to us concerning his will. Very familiar verse in Psalm, but Psalm 119 for a moment. Psalm 119, verse number 105. Again, talking about the scriptures, talking about ways that God speaks. Psalm 119, 105. Notice this. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Have you ever gotten to a situation where you just wanted to know what was down the road? I mean, God has given you light for today. You know you were supposed to get up and go to work today. You did that. Okay. You know you were supposed to come home to your family. You did that. But that's it. Now everybody's getting ready for bed to approach a brand new day. But you want to know what's tomorrow. You want to know what's down the road for the Lord, that the Lord may have for you. Well, I really don't think it operates that way, because the Bible is referred here to, he says, thy word is a lamp. You know, God will shine light on our day. He'll give us light on each step we make. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And when I think about lamps and I think about lanterns, I think about light in dark places. Sometimes or here today at least, I've thought about going into the woods down a trail, you know, maybe when it's getting dusk and you really can't see, you need that flashlight. You need that lamp. You need that lantern, don't you? You need to know which way to go. God's word is a lot that way. We're going through the wilderness of life, and there's lions, there's tigers, and there's bears, oh my, in our pathway, and they're there. And listen, God, he lights our pathway one step at a time, and he shows us which way to go one step at a time. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. So we see that God speaks through the scriptures, and he does this in the area of our ways, reproof, rebuke, and all those other things, but then in the area of his will. Someone said one time, well, Lord, I want to know what's behind the curtain. I want to know what is 6 months into my future. Lord, I want to know what I'm going to be facing a year from today. Lord, I want to know what's going to be 5 years. I don't think I do. I don't think I do. You know, God keeps things as he wills things. He reveals things as he wills things. In his own time and in his own way, he reveals things. But other than that, it's one step at a time, one day at a time. Because the truth be known, if God showed us everything behind the curtain, there may not be some good experiences behind that curtain. There may be some things that we may have to absolutely rely on God about. And so I'll keep it at the thy word as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path kind of walk as a Christian. But we do see that he speaks through scriptures. And he speaks through the scriptures concerning the area of our ways, concerning the area of his will. But then he speaks not only through the scriptures, and not only does he speak through the Son, but God speaks through the Spirit. Turn to John 16 for a moment. He speaks through the Spirit. Again, this is, without being irreverent, this is all the same orange or apple. We're just slicing it different ways as it pertains and unfolds in the Bible. John chapter number 16, Gospel of John. Notice if you would in verse 13. Bible says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. So he says that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. And so we're living a life and we're walking a walk through this world called the wilderness with God wanting to speak to us. And he does so through his Son. He does so through the scriptures, but then he does so through his Spirit, which means our daily walk. He will guide us into all truth. The Lord will never guide us into error. He'll never guide us and steer us in sin. He'll never guide us and direct us into a situation where that is contrary to his, to our best interest, being in his eyes and his will. He'll never do that. But yet, temptation is from the devil. And the devil will send the bait to call us out from retreat. And then when we take the bait, it is sin. But the Lord won't do that. The Spirit will guide us into all truth. And that's a very important verse to know, because it will guide you from day to day. Live your life from day to day. Encounter a situation. You need to make a decision. Okay, is the Spirit guiding me this way? Is this truth that I'm wanting to say yes to? If it isn't truth I'm wanting to say yes to, then it isn't from God. And so we see in John 16, 13 that God speaks through the Spirit. Let me mention this. The Spirit will never tell us to quit going to church. Hebrews 10, 25, you know it, just jot it down. Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. He goes on and says, and so much the more, talking about gathering and meeting, and not forsaking the local assembly. Hebrews 10, 25. The Spirit will never tell us to quit coming to church. If the Spirit guides us into all truth, the church is the very place of truth. And so when people quit coming to church, I'm wondering, my question is this, what did God do? You know, because ultimately, at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves that question. Or if anybody has stopped going to church anywhere, what did God do? Because God didn't do anything much of the time. It's a person, it's a place, it's a thing, it's a crossword, it's something here. Maybe nothing involved with the church at all. Maybe it's something in their private life. But the Spirit will never stop guiding somebody to the house of God. But also, the Spirit will never stop will not tell you to quit on your calling. Look at Romans 11, 29. We don't normally do Bible drill, but we are tonight. Romans 11, 29. What's that?
Charge.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, charge. I tell you what, does somebody have Romans 11, 29? Somebody give it to me. Sherry, I thought I heard you in the back. So there you have it. verse number 29, God says, I give you a gift and a calling, and I'm never sorry that I did. How many times do we feel sorry for ourselves, or sorry over a struggle, sorry over a decision we made, and we say this, I can't go serve God anymore. Now listen, there are stipulations on some of these gifts. But how many times do we say, well, I can't do that. I can't go to church. I can't raise my hand and give God praise because of thus and such in my life. I fell short. I didn't give my tithes like I should. Something going on at work, and I didn't witness like I should. Well, the Bible plainly says here, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So at face value, what we can take from that is that God hasn't given up on you and how he wants to use you. Which leads to my next question. What does God want you to do? What does God want you to do? Now listen, if it had to do with feeling good to do something for God, and I know right off the bat, Pat, Megan, and Tammy, you know, working at the home and doing all you do, you can vouch for this. If it came down to feeling like it, we, much of the time, we probably wouldn't do it, or, you know, it's a calling. It's a gift. Therefore, whatever discrepancy happens in our own personal families or lives, guess what? We don't have time to stay down about it, do we? We don't. The show must go on. The ministry must go on. I mean, there's kids to look after. There's a church to look after. There's a message to be sought after. There's a message to be delivered. And so I take great value in this verse because God says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, boy, get up and go again. I knew you was going to fail. I knew you was going to fail short and fall short when I called you to preach in the ministry. That didn't surprise me. You don't have to crawl up into behind the pulpit and, you know, and agonize. No. Get up there and preach. Deal with your stuff. And if it's whatever it is, if it's sin in our own personal lives, if we're saved, our sins are gone. Confess we fail, just to make the relationship unclouded, but get up and go again. And I love the verse in Proverbs, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. And our calling is to keep getting up, keep getting up, keep getting up. Accept the fact that God has not repented over calling us into the position, the ministry, whatever family you may have, whatever job you're at, God has not repented of that and made sorry because of something that we've done. And so we see that God speaks this way. He speaks to the Spirit, and the Spirit will never tell you to quit church. The Spirit will never tell you to quit your calling, but also the Spirit will never tell you to quit caring for others. 1 Corinthians 13 Notice this, 1 Corinthians. Well, 1 Corinthians 13, notice verse number 4. Charity suffereth long, or love suffereth long. 1 Corinthians 13 is a love chapter. You guys know that. And Paul is speaking about what love is and what love is not. And he gets to verse number 4, and he's talking about charity or love in action. He says, real love lasts long. Real love, there is an enablement inside of real love through the Spirit because you're born again and you're operating out of that love that God loved you with through the Spirit. The Spirit will not allow you to quit loving someone. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. There's a big one. You know? Somebody finds out that you fail. Woo! Thank God. How could you thank God for somebody falling anyway? You know? Someone rejoice over someone else falling. The only reason they could rejoice is because they're attempting to make themselves look better. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. He goes on and he says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Back to verse number 4, charity suffereth long. And this is one thing, one characteristic of Christ, love, true love, unconditional, agape love, that he will never tell you to not love somebody and continue to love them. Some people say, well, I just don't love them anymore. Well, whose decision was that? That was the individual's decision not to love them anymore. Because when it comes down to it, whatever hoops we may have for people that they don't jump through, guess what? People have hoops we don't jump through. And it's not about that anyway. It's about loving people as best we can through the eyes of Christ, unconditionally, because we know that we're not that lovable when it comes down to it. We know that we have sins at one particular time would have sent us, but God intervened and saved us through Jesus. And so who are we not to love anybody? You know, we all have our own struggles. We all have our own setbacks. We all have our own problems. Who are we not to love everybody? Sometimes we get frustrated with people. But you got to, that's why the Bible says charity suffereth long. Real love is stretched out love. Real love operating out of the Spirit of God will allow you to hang in there with them. Now, let me say this. Just because someone may be upset with you doesn't mean they don't love you. Maybe their love factor is being stretched. That's a real thing. Charity suffereth long. Didn't say charity, it just didn't leave it at charity, but it says charity suffereth long, meaning that there are times where our love factor is stretched. And there may be cross words at times, and there may be rolled eyes at times because of the situation. But a person loves you, and it does not mean that it's not coupled with aggravation sometimes. Now, verse number 1 through 3, Paul begins this chapter, and he talks about verse number 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And so we have to be careful to keep this balance of God's enablements of our gifts with the love factor being full speed ahead as well. I've heard preachers that can preach up a storm, but you try to talk to them personally, they're mean as a snake. Yeah, I mean, you know, missionaries and deacons and people in the church that are very much so gifted and can play the piano and play instruments and they can sing, but you run across them in a Kohl's somewhere or a Publix grocery store, they won't speak to you and they're mean and hateful. Now, how does that testify of God's goodness with that gift? It doesn't. It doesn't promote that gift. Paul says in verse 1, it's more or less of a tinkling cymbal. It's just an annoyance. You ever, and I'm not trying to promote being annoyed, but we've all been there where we've known people that don't match their gift as far as attitude, and they get up to sing, and you're like, here they go again. You know what that is? It's a tinkling cymbal. Well, they're going to sing, but I tell you what, they're a devil outside of church. A tinkling cymbal. Sounding brass. I mean, they may be fooling everybody in here, but they ain't fooling me. I mean, I am not trying to promote being aggravated, but I'm just being realistic. That's how things are with people who do not couple their gift with love. Of course, he continues in verse number 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, in all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And again, verse 4, charity suffereth long. So the Spirit this evening will never tell us. The Scriptures, God the Father, God the Son, will never tell us to quit caring. And then in Matthew 19, verse number 6, you don't have to turn there unless you want to for the sake of time. But the Spirit will never tell us to quit on our companion. Matthew 19, verse number 6, talks about what God hath put together, let not man put asunder. And we don't have time to get into this, but there are situations where divorce happens. But in the context of Matthew 19, verse number 6, if you know God has put you together, let not man put asunder. Let nothing separate you from your spouse. All right, one more thing. No, actually, three more things. I'm sorry. We may not get into all three of them, but. And so the Spirit, God speaks to the Spirit, John 16, 13. Along with that, we said he'll never tell you to quit the church, quit your calling, quit caring, quit on your companion. Now, number four, God speaks through the servant. He speaks through the servant. God has always had a person he chose to speak through. And here's just a few. He spoke through the prophets of old. Number one, he spoke to Nathan to point David to repentance. In fact, Nathan pointed out David's sin. Elijah, he had Elijah to point out the forecast to Ahab. Haggai to point out the church. Hold on a minute. You're at home living with nice homes, but the God's house is falling apart. He says, we got to get this back in balance. God used Haggai to do that. Okay, so God spoke through the prophets of old. Nathan to point out David's sin, Elijah to point out the forecast, Haggai to point out the church. And he speaks through preachers of today, along with every child of God he speaks to. But in Romans chapter number 10, you can turn there. I'll just give it to you. Romans chapter number 10 and verse 13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? A lot of missionaries use this verse. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We see here the trend in the Bible that God still has a person to be his mouthpiece. And if we don't allow ourselves to be used, God will use someone else. But he speaks to the servant, and he speaks for preachers of today. But also he speaks through people that are obedient. Let me just give it to you. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, notice this. We actually brought a message a while back on the vessel, a vessel of honor. 2 Timothy 2, 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. And so it just doesn't stop at preachers. It involves everybody. God speaks through the servant. God speaks through the Spirit. God speaks through the Scriptures. God speaks through the Son. And then God speaks through stillness. He speaks through stillness. Psalm 46, verse number 10, very familiar. Psalm says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. God speaks through stillness. Who was it? Was it Elijah, or maybe it was Elisha, where he was looking for God in the thunder. He was looking for God in the fire, and he was looking for God in all those big things. But then a still small voice. So God says, "Be still and know that I am God." The meaning of this verse has everything to do with quietening the spirit. It has everything to do with silencing the mind. It has everything to do with acknowledging who God is, what God has done, what He is capable of doing. It has everything to do with Genesis to Revelation, every characteristic about God, every ins and outs about God, every ministry that God has used. And then we're to be still, we are to relax our efforts, and we're to focus in on God as a person. He says, be still and know that I am God. Focus on His characteristics. God is love. He's patient. He's kind. He's everywhere at the same time. He's all-powerful. The characteristics and attributes of God can go on and on and on. And when we focus on those things and we cast our care on Him and we turn over our burden upon Him and we reflect upon who God is, then at the same time will come the peace that Philippians talks about. Then will come the security and safety within the mind and heart when we focus on God and what He can do. In fact, the word know here means to know by seeing. Be still and know that I'm God, which simply means that we will see. God will prove Himself, show Himself mighty. I like referring to the Old Testament a lot. Moses leading the children of Israel, they get to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's on the back and all the wagon wheels and the arrows and coming, the footmen. What does he say to Moses? Be still. Doesn't he say that? Something along those lines? Be still and know that I'm God or I'll deliver thee. Moses, and he had Moses lift up the rod and the waters parted and they all went by, all went through on dry ground. Be still and know. Moses stood still and Moses knew. So sometimes in life when we're wrestling, we're warring and we're worn down and bewildered and fatigued, maybe God wants us to just stop it. Just stop. Stop and know that if we could have done it, it would have been done by now. So just rest it and acknowledge who He is and what He can do and then watch Him work. That's all there is to it. He speaks through stillness. And then very last, another way that God speaks, He speaks through situations. He speaks through situations. In the book of Acts, chapter number 16, I just want to call out one phrase, Acts 16. We know that Paul was on his missionary journeys. We mentioned this not too long ago, but Acts 16, verse number 5, it says, when they came to Lystra and Timothy became part of the crew. But in verse number 5 of Acts 16, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, so far there is one roadblock in their journey. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, I know I'm pronouncing something wrong, Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So there's two roadblocks as they're traveling to serve God. And they, passing through Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Notice this phrase, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Really, three things I want you to notice out of these verses is that they were forbidden to go one way, Spirit suffered them not to go the other way, and because of the situation. You see, sometimes you have to look at the big picture in your life. You know that. I know that. You have to step back. You know the phrase, you're so deep in the woods, you can't see the forest. Sometimes you got to take a step back and say, okay, God shut that down. There's a possibility over here, but if I had to make my decision today, then probably not. And assuredly gathering. And so they went the way they went because they gathered the information they knew. They followed the Spirit's promptings and they went in that certain direction. Sometimes God's direction is not clear cut, wrote out in the sky. Sometimes you got to think about the situation here and think about the situation there, the pros and cons, situation there, pros and cons, and bathe it all in prayer and consult with other brothers and sisters and mentors. And many times it's through the gathering of information you receive your answer. One more verse, I'll be through. I'll just turn there. But in Proverbs 25, notice what verse 2 says. I've been trying to figure this verse out or find this verse for 2 days. I found it on the way to church. Don't ask me how I found it on the way to church. I was the only one driving. Don't do that. Proverbs 25, look at verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. I think sometimes God wants us to search it out. To search it out. He says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. So if God has us in searching mode, that means that, well, he says it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. That means that there may be a little bit of glory rendered to God when we find out what we're searching for. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but sometimes God conceals things. Sometimes at the right time, God reveals things, but all the time, he wants us to search the things. So you may be at a place in your life right now where you feel like that God is nowhere around or there's things shut down in your life. What I'll say is to keep on searching, because the Bible says it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. And so you keep searching, then God will reveal. He'll get the glory, and there's a little tag connected to you for searching it out too. Being obedient, you search it out. So that tonight to say this is that he speaks through situations. Sometimes he conceals a matter so that we might search it out. Sometimes he conceals things to see if we're desirous to search it out. Sometimes he conceals things to see if we want it to come automatically. Then sometimes he conceals things as a means of testing to see if we're ready for what he wants to reveal to us. He speaks through situations. He speaks through stillness. He speaks through his son. He speaks through the scriptures. He speaks through the servant. He speaks through the spirit. Ways that God speaks. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your love, your mercy. Lord, we're thankful that, God, we know at the end of the day, you speak from heaven. But I like the ways, Lord, that we can look at the different ways and aspects that you actually do so, Lord. Help us, Lord, to keep a bended heart and ear towards you. And help us, Lord, to continually go after you. Lord, renew our strength. Bless these that are here tonight and their families. Bring us back safely, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, dismissed. Does anybody?